listening to Building Bridges. I'm Mimi Rosenberg.
And I'm Ken Nash. It's a matter of life and death. Thousands of New York nurses take to the streets in threat of major strike over horrendous working conditions, which seriously impedes patient care.
Nurses and caregivers are speaking out.
The ER is overcrowded. Four nurses doing the work of eight.
Because hospitals refuse to put enough nurses on the job.
Management knows we're short-staffed. Patients on gurneys spilling into hallways, exposed to infection.
These are the words echoed by thousands of New York nurses. Every hospital and nursing home needs safe staffing so you get the care you need and deserve. The New York State Nurses Association.
10,000 nurses at three hospitals in the city are threatening to walk off the job.
This is what the union looks like!
These are members of the New York State Nurses Association. They rallied yesterday on the Upper East Side. They say hospitals aren't hiring enough caregivers, which forces some nurses to watch over as many as 19 patients at a time. City Council Speaker Cory Johnson joined the demonstrators and showed his support.
When you are put in a position every single day on whether or not you have to sit with an intubated child, or hang blood, or run to the ICU, or be in the emergency room with unsafe staffing ratios, we are in a moment of crisis.
If there's a strike, it would affect the Mount Sinai, Montefiore, and New York Presbyterian hospital systems. All three are members of the Greater New York Hospital Association.
Well, I'm all revved up. I'm ready to go. I'm ready for the general strike. I'm ready for the general strike. And who better than our brave, intrepid, phenomenal workers from the nurses? And I will say one of my favorite unions, if not, no, it is my favorite union, the New York State Nurses Association members. And we are delighted to have, fresh off the picket line, fresh off the demonstration, Judy Sheridan Gonzalez, New York State Nurses Association President, and an RN, and NYSNA member, Karen Raymond, who is with Montefiore Hospital, and they're going to tell us why it's a matter of life and death as thousands of New York nurses took to the street to threaten a major strike over horrendous working conditions that seriously impede patient care.
And Judy, why don't we start by talking about the demonstration that happened today on that very subject for patient care because of short staffing by these very profitable hospitals.
Thanks for having us on the show. We presented our what was really a 14-day notice. By law, nurses and other healthcare workers have to submit a 10-day notice to picket or to strike. And after 6 months of negotiations with not one global agreement, which is unheard of, we made the very difficult decision to hand in our notice. We had a strike vote about 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, with out of the 10,000 nurses, 9,000 voted, and out of the 9,000 who voted, 97% at Montefiore, New York Presbyterian, and all the Mount Sinai hospitals authorized a strike. So today we gave formal notice at all the facilities and had a rally and picket at Mount Sinai Hospital to more symbolic altogether. So like, we had a huge turnout, and everybody was saying that they were ready because it's really all about our patients.
Since it is about the patients, you know, lots of striking workers or potentially striking workers who are forced out onto the picket line who do important service work like the nurses do are then kind of guilt-tripped. What do you mean? How can you leave your patients behind? This is just a self-involved, self-centered action. My goodness, you can do the work. Tell us what really is behind. What happens with the staffing patterns as they are and how it affects patient care and why the public's got to get on board with our sister and brother nurses?
Well, Corrine, would you like to answer that question? I think Corrine's on the line.
I work in a cardiac cath lab at Montefiore Weiler, but I am very, very much involved in the emergency room. We meet twice a week with management to try and solve the overcrowding, the massive overcrowding in the emergency rooms, typically caused by continued overcrowding on the units. Many of our patients that are I would say, squeezed and squashed into the emergency room, spend a good couple of days in the emergency room before they're given a bed sometimes, but oftentimes they end up in the hallways of Montefiore Medical Center. And that's just typically because Montefiore Hospital refuses to open up one of the nearby hospitals that they took over and open up those beds to our patients. The nurses do their utmost to take care of these patients, but our patients are very, very complex and very, very ill, and have continued to get more and more complex in their illnesses over the years. Nurses are finding that they just cannot meet the needs of patients. They're supposed to have 6 patients, but because of the complexities of these patients, we're finding that 4 patients, sometimes 3 patients, and even 2 patients is the number of patients that an individual nurse can manage if that nurse wants to do and wishes to do the very best for that patient and that family. And what we find is that our requests, our demands have fallen on deaf ears.
Judy.
Just to give us some background, with the Berger Commission and the Medicare review team or whatever that was called, there's all these different commissions that have come forward to try to cut down. And because of all the closing in beds, people are going home prematurely. They don't stay as long. And the ones who stay are incredibly ill. So the ICUs of yesterday are now the patient care floors of today. But the ICU ratio, and there are ratios in the hospital, they're denying that there are ratios, but there are, that where you take care of 1 or 2 patients, now those are being coupled together in a unit where people are taking care of about 6 of them. So it's just absolutely impossible for nurses to care for these patients. They sacrifice their breaks, bathroom time, meals, and things like this so that they can just make sure that people survive. It's a kind of you're constantly triaging your care. It's stressful. People leave. They're not staying in the profession. They're staying in the workplace, and the patients are suffering. Particularly, we find in our hospital at Montefiore, where many of our patients are poor, they're people of color, they're marginalized, some of them don't have papers, maybe don't have the best insurance, there's a big Medicaid, Medicare population. Those are the patients that we find, the most vulnerable patients that don't have social capital and connections, that suffer the most. And we are talking about quality of care, but we're also talking about equality of care.
And Judy, Corrine was talking about specifically Montefiore, but you're also protesting against and issuing a strike threat against Monsanto and Presbyterian, so I assume the conditions are the same there. Now, these are private hospitals. They're hardly hard up. What's their excuse?
Well, I think Montefiore has it slightly worse than them, but we all face the staffing problems. We have some space issues that I think are a little bit worse. But all these hospitals, they're swallowing up. They're having these mergers and acquisitions. They're using their money for a couple of things. Their CEO salaries are incredibly high, $5 million for the top CEO in each of these facilities. I think, between $4.8 to $7 million, something like that. They spend money on consultants. They spend money on marketing, on advertising. And the whole way in which we practice is built around them making money. I mean, they're supposedly not-for-profit hospitals, but they all have revenue. We think it has to do with power. They really don't want the nurses to have control over the kind of care that we deliver. Everything is scripted. It's this business model. We're given assignments that are ridiculous, that don't reflect that we have any kind of professional judgment at all. It's all about the bottom line. It's all about billing. It's all about reimbursement. And they're running it like it's a little store with customer service. These are customers, not human beings, with illnesses, what kind of patient satisfaction scores will score. It's very robotic. It's very demoralizing and dehumanizing for everybody.
So specifically, what is being asked for here? We get it. There's the staffing patterns. What kind of ratio are you talking about? And again, how do you understand the incredible recalcitrance of management that are pushing the tens of thousands of necessary workers for our healthcare system to the barricades?
I think, it has to do with their defense of this corporate business model of healthcare And in order to make a profit, they have to exploit the workers, which they're very good at doing. And when you exploit healthcare workers, you're actually exploiting patients because they're dependent on us for their care. So it's kind of the double-edged sword of worker exploitation. It's not that we're making a product. We're dealing with human lives here, and they suffer terribly, and it just tears the heart out of the nurses. So it's about making money. It's about control, and it's about destabilizing the union. We're a pretty strong union. We've become a social justice union, fighting not only for our workers but for our communities on multiple levels, and they just really don't want us to flex our muscles and our power to be able to advocate for our patients and fight for the health care that we believe New Yorkers deserve.
And Corinne, you were doing it before, but continue to create a picture of what it's like to be a nurse. And maybe we can bring that baby in the background into the picture too, who seems to be. See, that's what I mean about NYSDA. What an incredible organization. People may not realize it, but Judy Sheridan Gonzalez is also, she's not only the NYSDA president, but she's a working RN at Montefiore, right?
Yeah, and Corinne is on the board. She's the vice president, second vice president.
And a working
nurse. Works full-time in the cardiac cath lab. We all work.
So to give us a bit more, again, to make us really, really dig down deep, drill down deep, to give us a sense of what this work overload, what these terrifying staffing patterns are really about and how they inure to the care for our communities and very often the poorest communities. What's really being said here about the priorities of patients for these big private hospitals? Corinne?
So I want to give you a story. As you know, I am the president of the bargaining unit at Montefiore Weiler, the division. And so I have my ears to the ground and I'm listening to everything that the nurses are saying. So one day I was on duty and I continually heard time after time after time what we call a rapid response. Now that is when a patient runs into difficulty, we have special teams that swoop in and go in and help that patient out of their difficulty. So I was intrigued because this rapid response was on the same unit over and over again within 5 minutes of themselves. So I went up and I investigated. I had one nurse. They were taking care of a patient on some very powerful medication that should have been monitored. And when I say monitored, you know, blood pressure taken every 15 minutes. They should have been on a machine that helps to evaluate what their heart is doing. And none of that was present. Then the patient was on a machine to help them breathe. And this particular nurse was trying to manage this patient because the patient's heart kept stopping. That patient also had five other patients that needed just as much attention. So this is what we're talking about when we say that nurses are overburdened. I have another story where patients who should be being monitored by what we call a sitter are not being monitored by sitters, and they are in danger of wandering off the unit because, you know, maybe they have a little dementia, they're a little bit confused because they're in a new environment. So these patients need to be watched. Nurses are being put in a position where they are sitting and watching these patients because we don't have the necessary numbers of ancillary staff to do this work. That means that that nurse is not only watching her patient, she is late giving out her very important medications to her other patients. Now, if you happen to be what the facility calls a VIP, which is a very important patient, maybe you know somebody in leadership, or maybe you're friends with the CEO, you have none of that to worry about. And this infuriates the nurses because we believe that every single patient is a VIP. Whether you can pay for your care or whether you're a Medicaid patient, whether you have what we call Cadillac insurance, our patients typically are Medicaid patients and they are crammed into the emergency room. Our emergency room is supposed to house I'm going to say about 70 patients. On any given day, there can be 150. Our stretchers, the stretchers for these patients are too deep, and then there are chairs in front of these patients, or even stretchers in front of these patients. Yet those particular areas may have four nurses with about 60 patients in the emergency room. So we want ratios. We want a set number of patients to a particular nurse so that she does not have to worry that she's missed someone, that someone may stop breathing and they don't catch it, may their heart may stop and they don't catch it. We want ratios so that when I take care of a patient who's just had a heart attack and we fix them, we stabilize them, that there is a bed on a unit with a nurse, stress-free, ready to take that patient, ready to invest the time that's required to educate that patient so that when they go out into the community, they have their medications, they take their medications, and they do well instead of coming back in the middle of the night. We want that there is enough room for all of our patients to get a bed in a room with oxygen, running water, and a bathroom. That's what we want for our patients. We want our patients to be treated with dignity. We want to be able to do it in such a manner that they see that we care about them. Oftentimes, I feel as though we're doing drive-by nursing, and that is not what we signed up for when we said that we were going to take on this profession. And so that is why we have got no choice but to go out on strike if management will not listen, because it's not about us, it's about the patient. And we feel that if we don't do this, that we are going to be headed down a very, very, very slippery slope that is not going to be good for the patient, and therefore it's going to rest on our souls as us not having advocated enough for patients.
Judy, I know that this is a nationwide problem also. States, I think it is California, they've enacted safe staffing into law. Are you proposing to do that route also in New York State?
Yes, we have two pathways. One is through legislation that's been out there for a while, but now that apparently with this flipped Senate, it was supposed to be a piece of cake, but, you know, people who sign on to something went, I don't know, I have to be delicate about this. You know, some people signed on to it. I think they didn't think it would pass. Now, some of the legislation that people were supporting, now that it's possible for it to pass, have second thoughts about certain components of the legislation. So, but we are following up on that. We are putting our pressure on legislators to push for that bill. And we also have...
Judy, what's the bill specifically?
It's the Safe Staffing for Quality Care Act. You know, there's different additions to it. We also are including long-term care, nursing homes, and we're looking at trying to figure out how to insert ancillary staff in there as well, which would probably be more based on numbers or rather than ratios, because they're not responsible for each patient. But, you know, definitely there's a need, as Kareem was saying, for the sitters and for the CNAs and the techs. I mean, everybody's been cut. It has an impact. You know, we're a team. It has an impact on all the work that we do. And they've cut social workers. They've cut every kind of worker. And everybody's doubling up and tripling up and working much harder.
Oh, you said something magical. It's not just magical. I don't know about that's the best way of expressing it, but you're talking about actual cuts that have taken place as well. We're not even talking about the maintenance of the status quo, expanding that, but there's actually been cuts to even get to, you know, we have to run as hard as we can just to stay in the same place. That's what we're really talking about, huh?
Yeah, I don't understand the logic of it, because even reimbursement is tied to a certain level of patient satisfaction, and patients are very unhappy. The whole system is absolutely dysfunctional, and the people who are taking care of the patients are not happy. The patients are unhappy. We're constantly being, you know, pulled into computers and electronic documentation, devices that are really designed for billing, not for taking care of our patients, because clerical staff used to categorize the billing based on our notes. Now we do it with checklists, and our documentation is not really fully reflective of the patient's condition. It's more about checking a certain thing, an insertion of an IV, checking a blood pressure, because they get charged per event.
And I must say that as I listen to you, I think how applicable your struggle is to, for example, the work that I do, which is as a legal aid attorney. We are facing the exact same problems of an understaffing for the amount of people that we are supposed to service, and many other complexities and problems, which is not being taken into account by management, who contracted and is most interested in numbers, etc. But what is to be done? What is to be done? Because this is so important. As I said, this is about our nurses and supporting them. But what happens with them in the workplace impacts on the patients, impacts on them. And believe me, it also affects what's happening to other union workers who are going through kind of speed up, work overload, too many cases, etc., and not being able to fully and comprehensively and with quality service the people that they are supposed to be from the communities that they represent. So what do we do? How do we support you folks? Because we don't want you to have to go out on strike, though we'll be there if you do. But how do we prevent that from happening?
We want to thank you for taking this strong stand also, which is not only for yourself, but for the patients.
Yeah, I just want to explain one tiny little detail that makes it a little bit different than some of the other. I mean, clearly, any worker who provides human services is suffering a similar fate. But what's different about legal aid and schools is that people with money don't go to legal aid. People with money go to private school. I mean, certainly people with money go to more private hospitals, but because of the law, hospitals can't turn people away, even if they'd like to. So many of these major medical centers that used to have a very elite population now are integrating different kinds of populations into the facility. And that's where Corinne was talking about this every patient is a VIP mantra that we use, because they have some for Mount Sinai, they have what they call an amenities floor. They have an entire floor for those people, similar to New York Presbyterian, because they don't know how to manage they can't give inferior care to some of these well-funded people. But in general, this is a kind of a universal problem, and a lot of people, it's like catching the tuna and the dolphins. You know, some of these dolphins get sucked into the tuna. So it really does affect people, even those who do have some resources, because the understaffing can be fatal. You know, there are serious consequences to understaffing and inadequate space and supports and materials and training and all the things we're fighting for.
And we have about a minute and a half left to listen to Judy Sheridan Gonzalez, NYSNA President RN, Working RN, and Corinne Raymond, Working RN for sure. Tell us what is to be done.
You can support us on our picket line if we do go out. You can certainly write to these CEOs of the hospitals and let them know your displeasure at what they're doing, and support our legislation, because that's another end, because those are the people who may not be in our union or don't have it in their contract. We want safe staffing for everyone. We also, of course, support a single-payer system of health care, and just spreading the word in your unions and in the communities to help us put pressure on these hospitals, and if we should go on strike, to be out there on the picket line with us as much as you can be at the hospitals affected.
And I must say, how can people keep in touch? Give us your website so that we can update day to day, although we'll certainly do that for building bridges. And, of course, we have to get you back on to talk about how incredible this social justice union is, which has taken on so many issues, and to discuss single payer, which people should be able to express exactly what that is. I'm still sure that many people are a little bit confused, but we're going to have Judy Sheridan Gonzalez and all of her sisters and brothers, nurses, back to talk about that. How can people keep in touch?
solidarity@nysna.org. That is an email address that we have for people who wish to give solidarity. We do have a hardship fund, strike hardship fund, if people want to donate to that, should we go out. Any information or support that you want to offer, reach out to us at solidarity@nysna.org.
And tell the public officials to get on the backs of these damn private hospitals. We need better staffing ratios to keep our patients, our community healthy, and certainly to keep our nurses who do so much healthy as well, mentally and physically, and be able to deliver the quality of work that they were intended to and do. Judy Sheridan Gonzalez, again, NYSNA president, working RN at Montefiore, and NYSNA member, working vice president of the bargaining committee, Catherine Raymond. Thank you so much for being with us. We will support you if you're out, but we want to make sure you're where you belong, doing your job. So we all have to support our working nurses.
I have a dream. One day.
Justice. Healthcare. Justice.
America of the people. America by the people. America for the people. Which people are you talking about? Are you talking about the wealthy with the means to stay healthy while 47 million go without? No doubt. We need a revolution. It's time for a brand new healthcare solution. Sing it on behalf of the uninsured, because I believe so absurd for America, the so-called greatest nation, to be in a healthcare crisis situation.
One day, this nation will rise up.
Justice. Come from the land of milk and honey.
United we stand, divided we fall.
But the healthcare industry's addicted to money.
All for one, not one for all.
47 million in dire straits,
excluded by greed and wealth.
So we got to get united in these states
and put the care back in health.
Come on, y'all. Sing healthcare justice for all.
Has been Building Bridges, your community and labor report with Mimi Rosenberg
and Ken Nash. And log on to our website at www.buildingbridgesradio.org.